I think you have to go back to the middle of last season to find the last person who went for 300 yards against him. Here's the stats, by the way. Jordan Mason, their leading back, went 14 carries for only 58 yards. Brock Purdy had to scramble 8 times for 27. That's way too much for him, even though he got 2 rushing touchdowns. Kyle Juszczyk had 1 carry for 14 yards, and Garrido came in for 1 snap, got 1 carry for 2 yards. That is an excellent job defensively on their run game. Look, they're a defensive team. We should just accept that. I know it sounds weird. It never sounds right. Even last year, I thought it was more of a 50-50 proposition. This is a team led by their defense and who wins games via their defense. The great news is for them, and then in crunch time, what we talked about with Mahomes still exists, but this is a defensive team. They haven't allowed 30 points since the Eagles in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. Not last season. They didn't allow a single 30-point game last season. Do you realize that they're statistically more likely to give up numbers in the teens than in the 20s this year? They're more likely to give up scores under 20 this season than they are to actually give up that number. So, like, this is the best defense in football. The run defense once again proved it. They have faced the single best rush offenses in the NFL. The 49ers, the Ravens, time in and time out, every single team, they're going to stop the run. And because these other quarterbacks haven't been able to make up the difference and just go like ham on them, like, I don't know, Josh Allen or something, they haven't been tested in that way. Purdy is definitely like, he probably hopes to never see the Chiefs again. But I would say that this is kind of across the board. When you start looking at like how long old it's been since someone got 300 yards. I do think Spags is the greatest defensive coordinator of all time. Maybe I'm victim of the moment. I don't know.
It's amazing what they've done. And George Karlaftis, we were just talking about him last week and the numbers and all that. He stepped up huge in a couple plays in particular where they were double teaming him and he got through a double team. Well, they just kind of whiffed, but like he still got through a double team. I thought the defensive line was sensational yesterday. And certainly Chris Jones didn't have the stats. We've talked about that.
I don't care about that.
But
I can see
but
he was
disruptive, and that's a big reason why Karlaftis had a big day yesterday for Kansas City.
I think he had the biggest play of the game where they were in the red zone and he hit Purdy as he...
Yes, that led to the Jaden Hicks interception. Yeah, he definitely got a piece of that, or at least caused him to, you know, his arm to be a little off or whatever. The one concern, I know we're going to talk about a little bit later, though, is now, okay, the big question... They've been great with next man up philosophy. They've been pretty healthy on defense. Is a big blow with Jalen Watson because we just discussed where the quarterbacks were last week. That, hey, you know what? Jalen Watson's been great. And, you know, they didn't have a clear guy coming out of camp, and that's okay. And how silly it seemed to be worried about that. And Jalen Watson is playing as good as Snead was last year, essentially, at times. And now we know Jalen Watson is probably going to be done for the season. We'll get official word maybe today. Andy's going to speak at noon, but there's multiple reports, including Zach Gelb over at the Infinity Sports Network. It used to be CBS Sports Network here with Odyssey. And he's reporting that a source telling him it's a broken ankle for Jalen Watson. Andy Reid after the game said basically it's not good. They don't think it's going to be good news on an MRI. So that's a huge loss for this football team. And now it's Nazi Johnson who... was a little rough when he just was forced to fill in yesterday at that spot. Got called for a couple penalties too. Williams and Nazi Johnson are going to have to step up. We can have a deeper conversation about is that a trade market for them? Typically, it hasn't been an area where they've gone and given up assets for. So that will be interesting to see over the next couple weeks. But that's a tough one to overcome. I know we see all these other injuries on the team. We're like, hey, they've made it work. But we just got done saying the defense is why they're winning games. So when you lose your number two corner, that's a big deal.
Like when you start going through it, yeah, it is. And I know we're going to talk about where exactly that injury lands amongst the injuries they've already had this season. Mm-hmm. But like, I mean, I just can't help but look at, I mean, how can you not tell me this is the league's best defense? These other teams have scored against other teams. Baltimore only got 20 against them. They're averaging a full touchdown more than that. Cincinnati probably got them for the best 25 points. They're averaging 5 more points per game than that. Atlanta only got 17. The Chargers only got 10. The Saints only got 13. I mean, like at this point, we used to have these conversations to be like, hey, you better be ready to get to 30 points if you're going to beat Kansas City. That used to be the conversation here, Drew, before you could be like, hey, if you're not getting to 30, then don't even waste your time showing up to the building. But now it's to me, it's like at this point, it's like if you can't get to 24, it's over. Not because the offense needs to get there, but if you can't get to 20, you're not getting to 24, right? Like, that's not the number the Chiefs have been giving up. They haven't given up that amount all season. And that's what, or I think so, the one time against Cincinnati. That's the number you're going to have to get to win. And that's been an almost impossible task. They are statistically, over the last year and a half, more likely to give up 10 than they are probably 24. No 30-point games, as we have previously pointed out. All the things that factor into this. When their defense is playing at this level, it puts so much pressure on your defense to stop the Chiefs from doing anything. I just mean anything. And they're still an efficient offense from the 20 to the 20. Like, they got problems. They got plenty of problems. Yeah. 20 to 20, they are a relatively efficient offense. They start screwing around and turning the ball over and having mistakes outside of that. But for the most part, they succeed inside of that range.
And the question will, once again, much like last year, will be, by the time we get to week 15, and then ultimately the opening round, or hopefully it's divisional round because they get a first round bye, hopefully it's a divisional round of the playoffs, is the offense capable of elevating itself? Because it did. You know, I'd normally be like, oh, well, this is who they are. They can't play better in the postseason. We know that's possible because last year, suddenly the offensive line in the playoffs just played their best football. Mahomes played his best football.
Kelce played his best.
And the defense, of course, continued to do what it was doing. The other biggest question will be what we all have up until November 5th, which is going to be the trade deadline. And do they go out and find somebody? And I know we discussed it a lot over the last few weeks, but seeing yesterday and then seeing Juju go down with the hamstring in game after it was a spasm on Thursday, then didn't come back, given his health history and everything like that, I don't know how they can't go out and add a wide receiver. Like, tell me how they just don't have to do that.
Tell me the justification.
I don't get it, man.
6-0 on a back-to-back defending Super Bowl champion. Why wouldn't you, like, even if you're not even totally sure it makes a massive difference in your offense, isn't it worth the risk at this point? I looked it up last night because I saw the stat that said the Chiefs are only the second team to start 6-0 after being defending back-to-back Super Bowl champion. So this is the best start, right? This is the second best, or tied for the best start.
Yeah, the 90s
49ers. The 1990 San Francisco 49ers. And before you're like, it's an insult because you know that they didn't eventually win the Super Bowl, that 1990 49ers team finished 14-2 and was the number two offense in the NFL and lost in the NFC championship game 15-13 of all freaking scores of all nonsense.
Who would that have been to?
Giants.
Okay.
So of all nonsense scores, they lost 15-13 in the NFC title game. But I mean, they were 14-2. So the Chiefs have already established what you wanted to know in the defense of the three-peat. That's the real question. Team wins back-to-back Super Bowls. Your question is, can they do it? And when they lost all these players, I had the same thought you did, which is like, I don't know, man. That's one of the things that stops three-peat championships from happening is everyone gets hurt and you just can't overcome it. And right now, 6 games into the season, they already have a 2-game lead on the AFC.